SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the Vince Coast to Coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the burger, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show, got up, should do bad, along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the guru of golf, Carver High this afternoon. Mafia running in with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on a misery Monday. Morenci, a double shot from Vancouver. We got the sports rager for you. That's in the first hour here. And then in the final hour, Jerry Allen, the legendary voice of the Oregon Ducks, after an incredible game against the Buckeyes at Outson and Eugene on Saturday night. Plus, Scoop Mish. Craig Mish from Newswire joins us. We'll certainly be talking about the Mets and Dodger game that's going to be going on here in roughly a little over an hour, Mike. And obviously, as far as I'm concerned, the Mets literally have to win the game. I think they have to win the game. You lose the first two in Los Angeles, you're not beating the Dodgers in a seven-game series. I know the old, the series doesn't start until both teams play their home games. Not against that team. Not against that team that hasn't allowed a run in 33 innings. Not one run. I mean, you talk about timing for their pitching staff and bullpen. The way they're pitching right now is, it's, you know, unhittable. You can't even get a hit. Can't even get on base. So if they don't win this game today, I think they're dead. Dead in the water. They will lose the NLCS. I don't care about seven games. It'll be over in five or six at the most.
Yeah, happy Monday here as we get ready for some big baseball games coming up in a little bit. I agree with you. You know, I know they don't like throwing around the must-win game stuff because they haven't played a home game yet, but do you really think the Mets are going to win four out of five if they lose today? That's tough against that Dodger team. That seems like a lot to ask for. Getting a win today, making it a best of five with three games in your building, that sounds a lot more appealing. And I know the Dodgers got away with this against San Diego, Scotty, but they're throwing all the arms again today. It'll be like what they did in Game 4 against the Padres. They're probably going to throw six, seven, eight pitchers today against the Mets. And they're going to get a shutout again like that? The Mets aren't going to score any runs against them today? I think that you're going to see the Mets break out. The question is, will Sean Manaea pitch as well as he did in the last series? So I think that that's the swing. I like the Mets today. We're going to talk about it later. I think they are going to get it 1-1 going back to Citi Field after today. So we have lots of baseball that we are going to do. We have the Mets and the Dodgers starting, as you said, in a little under and just about an hour from now with the game number two. Yankees and Cleveland will start tonight as well. Game one, ALCS. Cleveland, of course, beating Detroit Saturday afternoon. The big grand slam from Lane Thomas off of Scooble. And away they go. They're in the Bronx tonight. And look, we said it. I know the Guardians are tougher. Probably, you know, better roster than the Tigers. Ramirez, Naylor, guys that have hurt the Yankees in the past. But this is a series, Scotty, that the Yankees got to get this done. And it starts tonight at home. They need to go and take care of business.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that I am worried with Rodon pitching because we saw him just get eviscerated in the fourth inning in his last start. He just went from looking good to looking awful in less than a batter or two and couldn't get anybody out, couldn't throw strikes, lost his stuff, and he just literally unraveled. I don't like starting him in game one. Now, the theory that they're going in their normal rotation, trying to keep things normal, yeah, I don't necessarily know if I – like, what do I know? I don't know anything, but I know this. I don't agree with it. I mean, the one guy that gets beat is him. And, you know, if Cleveland has a shot, it's tonight. They played Saturday. They got it done. They were hot. They hit grand slams. They won the game. They roll into New York, play 2 days later. The Yankees have been lying in the weeds, relaxing. I know they've added Rizzo and Stroman the showman. Rizzo will start. Neither one of them matter. We'll see if Rizzo can do anything. He hasn't played all year. And then when he played, he got hurt again in 5 seconds. So, look, I said this last week. You just cannot lose to either of these teams. You cannot lose to the Tigers or the Guardians. You cannot lose the pennant to either one of those teams. And now we know it's Cleveland, so you cannot lose to Cleveland in the championship series. You just cannot let that happen under any circumstances whatsoever. I don't care who's pitching. I don't care who's hot, who isn't. If Judge isn't going to hit, then somebody else needs to mother for Ellen hit. Somebody else needs to step up and start driving in runs. Soto, I don't care who it is. Gleyber Day played well. Stanton played great. I don't care. Verdugo, I don't care who it is. Volpe, I don't care who they put up there. All I know is Wells, I don't care who it is. Somebody has to do something if Judge isn't going to hit. He had one hit in the whole series, a double off the wall. But they have to win that series against Cleveland. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is the easiest route I've ever seen in my life to a World Series.
I don't love Rodon going the first game either, especially when you look, Cleveland generally better power numbers against left-handed starters than they do against righties. They hit lefties better than righties. So that kind of is puzzling to me as well. Yeah, you know, it's just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But either way, they're going to pitch him at some point. So they'll go with him tonight and then Cole tomorrow in the second game. So we'll give you all the numbers for that as well. We have a lot of NFL to do today. Of course, yesterday, Pain Day Sunday, Steelers got a win in Vegas. We'll talk about that. How about the Cowboys getting throttled at home again? I mean, and it was like running it up too. It was Jerry's birthday. We're going to hear from Jerry later here on Coast to Coast. It was like they were like intentionally running it up too. Like when you're throwing flea flickers, they were throwing passes and to linemen, they were throwing laterals to linemen down inside the five. Like it was almost like Campbell was trying to really rub it in there at the end of that game. And why not? It's the NFL. You got to stop it.
Look, you know, the Cowboys, obviously, we've seen them get blown out. They've lost, what, 4 straight home games? They just keep getting blown out at home. And obviously he said he's not going to fire McCarthy, but, you know, they're a 3-3 football team, and they look like it. They do not look like a championship football team. That's all there is to it. The Cowboys, to me, will be lucky if they make the playoffs. They could very well make the wild card or get in. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who's going to win the East. The Commanders lost yesterday. The Eagles, I think they stink. They don't look good to me at all. They could barely beat the Browns. The Cowboys look awful. The Giants look worse than all of them. I thought that Sunday night game was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. I don't know what was worse, the Mets bats
awful,
or the Giants game. That was the worst Sunday night football game I've seen in 5 years.
It was a miserable watch. And like you tried to get away from how the baseball game became a blowout and you figure, let me go over to the football game. Oh, it was bad. That was one of those nights where you needed like you almost needed that third like James Madison Coastal Carolina option. Like you needed like another something else even behind that. But we were not going to get it. That's for sure. We have a game tonight, by the way, to finish week 6. Also at MetLife.
That's
I hope it's
one.
A lot more entertaining than last night's game. Bills and the Jets. Of course, first game for the Jets since chopping Salah. Ulbrich will be the coach. Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. All the trimmings for that we will discuss. We've got a lot of college football to do, too. Big win, as you mentioned before, by Oregon at home against Ohio State. Bama and Tennessee surviving some scares, and they're going to play each other this week. Lots of college that we have to get to here before we get out of here.
Again, Alabama is overrated. I go back to the Georgia game. They were up 30-7. They blew the lead. They got lucky they won that game. Then they lost to Vandy. And then they look crappy again this week. So I don't buy any of the shtick about them winning the national championship at this point. They don't look like a championship team any more than the Cowboys do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm actually watching Columbus Day NHL hockey as we speak, and the Utah Hockey Club down 3-0 to the Devils at the Rock. It'll be their first loss on the season. You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 East, 7 West, along all of our outlets on TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, satellite radio, SiriusXM channel 159. But you can catch Morenci here, a double shot every day from Vancouver, right on C2C in the first hour. And here we go. Gabe, your thoughts on the Dodgers spanking of the Mets. 9-0. Flaherty had it all coming out of his glove for 7 innings.
Unbelievable performance from Jack Flaherty, following up an unbelievable performance from Yamamoto. Very scary for the rest of Major League Baseball if the Dodgers pitching is going to pitch like this. Their starters got it done the last couple of games. You know, listen, Walker Buehler had pretty good stuff. He had bad luck. I find it interesting that they went back to the bullpen today as opposed to starting Buehler. A lot of us thought it was going to be Buehler. Derek Jeter thought it was going to be Buehler. They go with Brazier, and then they're going to go with obviously another bullpen game here, Scott. I think the Dodgers are taking this sort of as a must-win situation as well. With the 2-3-2 format awaiting them, I think their thought was, listen, if we can get up 2-0, we can roll out Buehler. We're going to be in New York for 3 games. We'll roll out Buehler, and we'll roll our dice with him because he's sort of the wild card. He's generally going to give you, you know, he's going to give up a couple, you know, at least 3 runs. It just is what it is. So I think they're trying to avoid that. 33 consecutive innings. And, you know, of course, the last time they played in the championship series, Scott, you remember, it was epic stuff. Jay Hal got kicked out. Lasorda's freaking out.
Yeah.
And the Bulldog, Earl Hershiser, right? So Earl Hershiser, to me, is one of the more underrated pitchers in sort of, like, history, right? Like, when people talk about, you know, dominant pitchers, big-game pitchers.
He was
a big, yeah, you know, the Bulldog. He was, you know, people remember the Kirk Gibson home run, but they won the World Series that year because of Earl Hershiser. And what did Earl Hershiser do in that year, Scott? He set a Major League Baseball record. 56 consecutive scoreless innings pitched, right? Which is unheard of. So 50, you know, Earl Hershiser, 56 consecutive scoreless innings pitched. And you look at the Dodgers now, 33 innings, Scott. San Diego could hit. The Mets could hit. Suddenly they can't right now. We'll see if they can keep it going today. But the back end of the Dodgers lineup is hitting. The front end, Mookie Betts is, you know, woken up. Freddie Freeman is playing on one leg, very Kirk Gibson like. Yet he's playing good baseball right now after that day off. So there's a lot to like about the Dodgers, Scott. I think they're going to get it done again. It's funny because they were -150 favorites overnight, and there was no pitcher listed. And you know, and I do like the Dodgers again today. And I thought, you know, let's wait and see, because if they announce it's going to be Buehler, I bet you it falls to like 135 or something like that. They announced a bullpen game and it came down to -40, but I think the Dodgers get it done again today, Scott.
You cannot win when you don't hit or score runs at all. I don't care who you are. You could be the Padres, the Mets, you could be both of them tied together at the hip. The fact that they haven't scored no one in 33 innings, there's no way they can lose. If they keep pitching like this, it's over. It is over. You cannot win games, in my opinion, against the Los Angeles Dodgers 1-0 or 2-0. It's not happening. They scored too many runs, and their pitching is something that everyone thought had evaporated. They didn't have any pitchers at all, but all of a sudden, they have the most dominant pitching we've seen since 1966. No one can get on base.
Unbelievable stuff, and it's true. We were all concerned about the depth, but let's not forget, Yamamoto was the most valuable player, not just like the best pitcher. He won the MVP of the Japanese League. So he's a good player. There's a reason why everyone in baseball wanted him, and the Dodgers gave him $325 million. He got hurt this year. He came back. He wasn't perfect. He had to work through this. Walker Buehler's coming off of 2 Tommy John, so we'll cut him some slack, but Jack Flaherty's a good pitcher, Scott. Another pitcher that a lot of people wanted at the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And Flaherty's from L.A., too. I saw a video I just reposted of him, like, winning the high school championship at Dodger Stadium when he was
Burbank.
A kid.
He's from Burbank.
Yeah, yeah, so it's just in his blood, bro, and he stepped up big last night, didn't he? You know, guy was throwing a no-hitter, bro, like, into the fifth inning. He was like, whoa. He was just dominant. They're dialed in, Scott. The Dodgers, Dave Roberts talked about it before the playoffs. I think a lot of people just sort of took it as lip service. He said this team has a different edge to them. I think in the past they were soft. They were mercenaries. There wasn't a sense of urgency, so to speak. You hear them talk after every game. We want to win a World Series. We're trying to win a World Series. You would think they never won that World Series, and I think they sort of take it. It was the COVID World Series, Scott. It wasn't a Dodger Stadium. There wasn't a parade. Like, they're acting like they've never won before. They're a very hungry baseball team. The Mets looked pretty dejected last night, bro, in the dugout. You saw them. You know, the only OMG was, oh, my God, we're getting our ass kicked, okay? So you can take your little grimace shakes and your OMGs and your LFGs and all of this, and we'll see if you can hit the baseball today. Because I tell you what, you're down 2-0. You're in a lot of trouble. But I think the Dodgers will get it done today, Scott. I just think they have this momentum rolling right now.
Do you think they'll go into New York and win all those games too?
No. For the record, I bet Dodgers in six last night at plus 350. I also bet the Dodgers to win the series on their own because I bet them against San Diego. So my plan, I rolled it over. Actually, people always talk about that. Well, if you roll it over, I actually did it. I took the same amount that I won. I rolled it over on this series, and hopefully I could roll it over again after. But no, Citi Field's a tough place to play. My prediction was Dodgers in six. I'm not getting cocky, Scott. I'm happy the way they're playing. The series is far from done right now. I'm not naive.
If they lose today, is it over?
No. I mean, it's 2-0. You go back home, you get 2-1. Next thing you know, it's 2-2. A lot of stuff can happen, right? It's only one game in a series, but I just really like the way the Dodgers are playing baseball right now. And I love the fact there's such a quick turnaround for them. When you're hot, Scott's like being at the tables in Vegas. You don't want to go to your room. No, I'm staying at the table. Dodgers are staying at the table right now.
I hope that, I got to be honest with you, I hope today's game is better than last night's. That game, you know, as a Dodger fan, it was great. For anyone else, that game sucked. It was so boring. It was awful.
The football game wasn't very good either.
And that was even worse.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Gabe, let's talk about tonight at Jet Life. You got the Bills and Jets. It's as good as it gets, as far as I'm concerned, for a primetime game. And it's, you know, got a lot riding on it, both ends of the table. There's a lot at stake. And last night was so awful between the 9-0 and the Bengals-Giants, which I've been to more exciting funerals and wakes than that football game last night. I just want tonight to be a crazy, exciting game. That's all I ask. Is that asking too much?
I think it might be, actually. I don't know. I could say that's going to be a crazy game. I don't know, like, exciting. It might be a very ugly game tonight, Scott. Let's just be real. The New York Jet offense really struggles. The Buffalo Bills are a very erratic football team. It's not like these two teams play track meets when they get together, right? I mean, these two teams play 17-16 type of games, right? 23-17. The total is super light tonight. At 41.5. I mean, that is, we're getting pretty low right now. So you get into teaser mode, you bump it up to over 34.5. I can sort of live with that. So the Jets, you know, fire their coach. Okay. You know what I mean? He was just basically the scapegoat for the Aaron Rodgers era here. Fine. But with all that being stated, you know, does Sean McDermott have a free pass for life? Right? Is there a football team that and a football team, the Bills Mafia fan base is super positive all the time for whatever reason, right? Very supportive. Like, oh, it's okay, Josh, waiting at the airport after losses. It's getting old, bro. Right? You know what I mean? Like, how many years are we going to do this? I mean, I'm still not over. The Buffalo Bills, guys, were the first team in 45 years. Let me put that in context. They were the first time in 45 years to throw the football three times in a row from their own 5-yard line in the last minute of a football game. All right, so that's all you need to know about, like, their thinking. So they're a hard team to trust. So where I'm going with this is, at what point do you say, all right, they're not going to win with Sean McDermott as their head coach? And I like McDermott. So, you know what I mean? It's almost like a marriage. You want to make it work, but it's not. Like, you look at this, and they're spinning
their
wheels.
Sounds like you want him gone to me.
Well, if they don't win this game tonight, those drums are going to get louder. Let's just call it for what it is. Yeah, you saw, okay, remember, it's all great. Man, the Bills look great. Hey, look, Super Bowl contenders this year. 3-0. Okay, now you're 3-2. And so you got your ass handed to you by the Baltimore Ravens. There's classes to this stuff. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. You're not on the Ravens level. The Ravens smoked you. Then you follow that up with sort of the, you know, the tier two contender in the AFC, the Houston Texans. Could have beat them, fell apart, lose the game. Now you're going to lose to a team that can't pick up a first down with a 40-year-old quarterback, right? With a new play caller, and their new guy isn't any better than Hackett is either. Downey's no genius.
Right.
So this is the Bills' better wins, the division game for them. I'm not saying that McDermott gets fired tomorrow if they lose this game, but they lose this game, they're 3-3. I think there's going to be a longer discussion moving forward throughout the year here, Scott, if the Bills just turn into one of these win 1 week, lose 1 week type of teams. Too much talent. And you know, they're mismanaged. Like, the Bills don't have any room under the cap, Scott. How many star players do the Bills have? Like, I don't really understand the mathematics of their math. Like, well, we don't have any money for this guy. We can't get that. We can't bring him in. We can't sign him. We can't do this. You know, it's another thing, too. The Bills are very – they don't bring new players in, right? All right, they signed in, they traded for Diggs, but they always think it's good enough. Like, they're the definition of doing the same thing over and over with the same group. We all know they don't have enough wide receivers, so Shakir's out and suddenly to depth. You know, on paper, everything's fine. But they never think, like, what if this guy gets hurt? What if this doesn't work out? Then we don't have anything to back that up. And here we are right now. I mean, is our football team not fragile because Shakir is out? We can't move the ball suddenly? I guess it is, right? So tonight's a big game for the Bills, for their confidence. Big difference between 3-3 and 4-2, Scott. I tell you that, buddy.
So what's your bet here with the spread?
Oh,
the total?
I'll die on the hill with the Bills. I'll die on the hill with the Bills. Give me the Buffalo Bills tonight.
So you're laying, what are you laying in this game?
Oh, it's a money line. Dude, it's down to one and a half right now. It's like minus 120. Was it on the money line right now? It's like minus 115.
That's
not bad. It's 120 on the money line. Yeah, I'll play minus 120 on the money line. They're minus one right now.
And you tease the total Bills down?
Yeah, I'll tease the Bills up to plus six to the over 34.5. And I might end up pulling the trigger on the 41.5, Scott. For the record, look for Will Smith over 1.5 total bases today. Will Smith is 9 for 18. He hits 500 against Mania. Will Smith prop, guys, today.
Dog there you go, a nice little prop, Will Smith. All right, babe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, just turned it on. The pregame from L.A., beautiful weather, blazing sunshine. Does that affect the game in any capacity, playing in broad daylight in the sun?
I don't think so. I don't think it matters. I mean, they play enough day games throughout the entire year that I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's more difference, like, you know how when they sometimes play at 4 o'clock on the East Coast and you get like the, you know, they always complain, the hitters, about the dopey shadows between the pitcher and home plate, but this is 1 o'clock in the afternoon in LA. I mean, sun's just going to be beating down. They're not going to be any of those issues out here for this game. Game number two starting in about a half an hour.
I want to see if they have trouble with the ball in the sun. I think the Mets are at a disadvantage playing in sun. I think the Dodgers are used to it. I think they're more accustomed to it. And, you know, even seriously, like when they play in the sun, if there ever is such a thing in Queens, it's generally, you know, clouds and sun. So a ball will get hit up in the sky, a high fly ball or a pop up in the infield or even a foul ball where they're like battling the clouds and the sun and, the, you know, they got their glove over their eyes. I think the Dodgers are used to playing in those conditions, and there's no clouds in Los Angeles. It's, you know, clear blue skies. So you're dealing with the sun just beating down on your face, and you're dealing with your glove over. You'll see it today. guys are going to be out there doing this stuff with the glove over their eyes, and they're all going to be wearing sunglasses. They're not used to that. They don't play that many sunny games in Queens. They really don't. They play a lot of night games, and, you know, they might – I mean, I'm not going to deny they play some Saturday games in the daytime and whatever, but there's not a lot of day games that they play in Citi Field. I don't think so. And when they do, there's a difference. There's tons of clouds in the sky, and it's easier to pick up the ball. When you are dealing with nothing but sun, it's hard in the NFL. I can guarantee you that. When guys are throwing bombs and when there's fly balls deep into the sky in the outfield or wherever, and you have to fight that sun, it can be a problem. Trust me, you. I won't be surprised at all there's mistakes made.
So the Dodgers, of course, have a chance to go up 2-0 here this afternoon. A 9-0 win last night in game number one. The Mets, of course, went to Kodai Senga in the game one start. Didn't go very well as he gave up a two-run single to Max Muncy in the first, an RBI single to Ohtani in the second. His day was done. It just got worse and worse for the Mets as the night went on. The icing on the cake, Mookie Betts clearing the bases on Fox.
Betts to the bases loaded. Pulls one by third and down the line. Floodgates opening. Hernandez in to score. Kiermaier in to score. Ohtani's coming in as well. Betts has unloaded the bases. And a game one party in L.A.
It's a boy dance party. A three-run double. And that was all she wrote. Look, let's just face facts. Senga couldn't find home plate. I mean, he was literally all over the place. I was watching him. And what was it? At the beginning of the second inning. And I'm sitting there going, like, this guy can't throw a strike at all. Get him out. Like, it was so obvious to me that he was off and they just wouldn't yank him. Like, are you kidding me? How many walks? He loaded the bases. He walked all three of them. I mean, it was embarrassing. He was so awful. And it is beyond me how a guy that never pitched the whole season, that they start him in game one, the guy can't throw a strike and you leave him out there. I mean, are you stupid? Like, at what point do you just say, this guy doesn't have it. Yank him. Done. I go right to the bullpen. They waited. They literally waited, I think, way too long to have people up in the bullpen. This guy was terrible. He was terrible. Now, I won't deny he's got the fork ball, and that wasn't working either, yeah, but, by the way. He did nothing. He was terrible. They should have yanked his ass. In the beginning of the second inning, he was awful.
Right. I mean, and Mendoza after is like, well, you know, he wasn't sharp. Well, he wasn't sharp because he hasn't pitched all year. You know, that's why he wasn't sharp. He hasn't pitched all year, and that's a very big spot to throw him in. Game one, NLCS, doesn't make a lot of sense, but it didn't work out for them. They'll try again today, as we know, with Manaea. As far as the Dodger pitching plans for today, it will be one of those all hands on decks like in game four against San Diego. They are able to do that because Jack Flaherty gave them 7 shutout innings last night. Dave Roberts was very appreciative of that effort because now he can play his binder games with the bullpen today.
Can you just kind of explain how big that is for Flaherty, not just for the win, but what it frees you up to do with the pitching staff tomorrow? And do you know if that will be a bullpen game?
We are going to run a bullpen game. Not sure right now who's going to start this game. I'll let those guys know tonight. But yeah, it's going to be a bullpen game. And we just came out of it with a lot of kind of guys that are rested and raring to go. So I feel good about that. And so, yeah, Jack being able to do that opens up a lot of things and also kind of saves some looks from some of our guys in the pen from some of their guys.
Yeah, listen, as a Mets side, you're scared to death of today. They haven't had a hit. They had 2 hits. They can't get on base. Yep. And now you're facing a bullpen game where they're going to throw everyone but the kitchen sink out there. And then what are they? Are they rolling Jeff McNeil out with his broken wrist? So how effective is he going to be, who has been out 6-8 weeks? And then, you know, in my opinion, a guy with a broken wrist doesn't have the same power that he had before he broke it. I broke my hand in five places. It was never the same. When I first took the cast off and started playing without it, I was scared to death it was going to break again. I don't believe – now, I hope Jeff McNeil goes off and has three hits and hits a home run. I hope that happens. I don't see it.
I don't think you're going to see much of him. I know they put him on the roster.
So that's it. He's just on the roster?
I think he's there to me. He's not in the lineup today, and I wouldn't expect him to be in the lineup at all. I think it's personally a waste of a roster spot because I know he went Arizona Fall League, you know, hit some pitching and did some things. I think he's strictly late inning, bat off the bench. They have got too good of a thing going. Who are you taking? I mean, Iglesias has been good for them. The other guys have been good. I don't see any reason why you would want to go and put him in the lineup. So that's where I would be as far as this guy. He's not going to be in the lineup anytime soon. As far as not in the lineup today, and I don't think he'll be in the lineup anytime soon. Who is in the lineup today? We, of course, have Sean Manaea again, and it will be Brazier getting the ball first for the Dodgers. Right now, minus -145 for L.A., plus +120 for the Mets. 8.5 is the total, which they just got over last night with the 9-0 Dodger win.
Yeah, obviously I want the Mets to win, but I think the Dodgers are the play again. I mean, they just kicked their ass. They kicked their ass. That's it. Like, and they won game four against the Padres, game five, game one. I mean, they're hot. Their pitching's hot. Everything about them right now spells wins. I don't see it. Like, I hope you're right. I hope it's the Mets. Pray to God it is. I want the series to be good. If it goes back to New York 1-1, we got something cooking. If it's 2-0 LA, I still believe it's over.
I think the Mets do win today. I think we go back 1-1. Kind of like the over a little bit because I think the Mets are finally going to score some runs. But some guys on the Dodger line have pretty good numbers against Manaea. Betts, 10 for 32, three homers off of them. Hernandez, Freeman, Edmund, Muncy have all homered off of Manaea in their careers. Obviously a little harder to do that with the Mets considering there's going to be a different pitcher every inning.
He's been great, Manaea, for a while now. Let's see if he can do it today against this lineup. Hits him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, let's talk about the ALCS, Mike.
Yes, let's go and do that. Of course, they will play game one just after 7:30 East tonight. In the boogie down at the Bronx, Cleveland gets there after beating the Tigers 7-3 Saturday afternoon. Of course, you had the big grand slam by Lane Thomas off of Scooble, which sent the Tigers home in five. So Cleveland comes in, of course, big underdogs against the Yankees. Here is first-year manager Stephen Vogt on Cleveland being big underdogs.
We worry about us. You know, we've taken that with every series, all year long, and we can control what we can, and we know the Yankees are good. They've played us tough. This is a really good team we're about to go up against, but we're confident in who we are, and that's all we can control is us. So it's going to be a fun series, and we're really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. We already know the situation, the lay of the land here. I mean, I think that all the pressure's on the Yankees to get it done. They have to get it done. If they lose this, it'll be humiliating. It really will. I mean it. Like, I think Cleveland's okay. I think they had a good year. And I don't really think anybody respects that division. Even though three teams made the playoffs, I still don't think people respect it. Like, that there's some vaunted division that we're all afraid of. I mean, we live in New York, man. The AL East is where it's at. That's just all there is to it. No one even cares about the West. The AL East is always what matters in the American League. That's just all there is to it, whether you like it or not.
Of course, Yankees will have the home crowd behind them tonight, the 50K strong in the Bronx. Aaron Boone, as always, expecting a wild atmosphere in the boogie down.
Look, I'm sure Yankee Stadium's going to be rocking tomorrow night. You know, it looks like cooler weather's moving in for these first two games, so it's going to have that October feel to it. You know, we're now in the round playing for a chance to win a pennant and go to the World Series. So, you know, it's going to be an awesome atmosphere. And, you know, obviously we have some history with a lot of guys over there in the playoffs. So I'm sure it'll be a great environment.
So it's simple. If Rodon gets in trouble, they got to yank him. Like, they're not going to sit around and watch this guy give up runs, are they? I can't take it. Like, you already seen what happened. Like, he was so average that people started threatening his wife and children. Like, people here are crazy. Like, they said they were going to kill his children. Like, and they meant it. Like, these people are stupid. They're nuts. They're insane. It's not a safe environment. You go to the game at your own peril. I mean, you wear the wrong colors at that place and start opening your mouth, someone will put an end to all your teeth. That's just all there is to it. And you know it's true, Mike. Let's not sugarcoat it. It is a hostile place. And, you know, I've heard all this, oh, Yankee fans are smarter than everybody. They know more baseball. No, they don't. They're just idiots. They're drunks. And they're insane. And it's a rowdy lit football crowd for a baseball game. That's just all there is to it. And really, with the Jets and Giants being as average as they are every year after year after year after year, the Yankees fans are the true football crowd in New York. I mean, this is a football stadium atmosphere tonight in the Bronx. Guarantee that. And they're not going to tolerate this guy, Rodon, giving up runs. They'll start booing him. They'll boo him until he wants to jump off a bridge. They have to keep an eye on this guy. I don't trust him.
I don't trust him either. So I'm with you. I would be looking for the quick hook if things are not going well early on. And to be fair, they did do that in game two, right? I mean, he got in trouble. Now, look, he gave up a couple runs in the fourth, but they took him out in the fourth inning. He had three good innings. As soon as he got in trouble in the fourth, he was done, and Boone got him out of there. So I would expect the same tonight, especially with how well the bullpen is pitched, especially against KC. Here's one more from Boone, and I agree with him on this one. Everybody on all these pregame shows and postgame shows talks about how underrated Jose Ramirez is. I guess they don't watch enough. The guy's won an MVP. He's one of the best players in the entire game. And Aaron Boone frankly hates when people say that Jose Ramirez is underrated.
Well, I mean, he's the complete package. You know, I get on people all the time. If I hear another how underappreciated, underrated he is from somebody on a network or something, I want to rip my arms off and throw it at the TV. He's not underappreciated. He's not underrated. He's a great, on a Hall of Fame track player, and everybody knows it, including all of us sitting out here. Like, you know, switch hitter, power, great base runner, great defender at third. Like, he's a great all-around player, period.
I mean, I'm scared to death when the guy comes to the plate. Like, who's kidding who here? Like, what moron thinks that this guy isn't a stud? If you don't know about J-Ram, then you are not a baseball fan. You don't know anything about baseball if you don't know how scary that dude is when he comes walking up to the batter's box.
Very dangerous. One of the best players in the game. And like you said,
he'll hit home runs in this series.
Oh, he absolutely will. From both sides of the plate, he might do that. So he's very good, that's for sure. Alex Cobb and Carlos Rodon is your starters tonight in the Bronx. -165 for the Yankees, +140 for the Guardians, and a 7.5. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised that this one's 7.5 and the Met game's 8.5, considering it's Cobb and Rodon. But they are saying cold October night. I just saw a shot from the stadium. Flags are blowing out to right field tonight, Scotty, which is the short porch. So I think there will be runs tonight, and I think some balls will leave the yard.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, I hope it's the Yankees hitting them. But look, Cobb throws the ball down. He throws a lot of off-speed stuff down. Everything's breaking, falling off the table. So does Rodon. They both are guys that give up ground balls, right? So let's see if anyone can golf one out. I mean, Alex Cobb to me is beatable. And I think Rodon is beatable. So I think you're right. I think that it's an over. But I listen, I'm not betting on Cleveland ever in this thing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, I gotta tell you, Mike, even the rotation, like I said, I don't like Rodon. I pray to God he pitches great tonight for his sake, because he'll get the heat, excuse me, if he doesn't. And I think, you know, I don't mind Schmidt, to be honest with you. I like Cole Schmidt, and I'm scared to death of Heel and Rodon. And I think, listen, yeah, if Rodon gets lit tonight, I'm telling you, I won't pitch him again. That's it. You're done. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming. You're done.
I don't think that these guys that we're worried about, I don't think that Boone is going to give them a very, very long leash when they are out there.
I
think that he has seen enough. Now, this could also flip other side of the coin over usage. I think he's seen enough from some guys in his pen that he's going to be quicker to go to that pen, because of how much success they had against Kansas City. Heel worries me, but Rodon worries me the most out of anybody. He's the one guy that never... Now, they added Stroman to the roster, too. Here's the thing, though. Stroman sucks.
Okay, yeah, so I can't let him near it. It doesn't really matter
what goes on with him. Cole, by the way, one of five pitchers in postseason history, 19 or more starts, and a sub-3 ERA, Smoltz, Schilling, Lester, Whitey Ford, and Garrett Cole, only five who have done that. So nice job by him. I always give you this as well, which is tonight's matchups against Alex Cobb. Juan Soto, 7-for-11 with two home runs. He's hitting .636 against Alex Cobb. How about this? Even Glaber, 3-for-9 with two homers off of Cobb. Judge, 3-for-12 with a homer. Stanton's got a homer off of him. Verdugo's even 3-for-7 off of this guy. The Yankee offense, which can go into some dry spells very quickly, that's a guy that isn't going to be in the game long. He wasn't against the Tigers. He pitched like 3 innings, 4 innings. You have got to hit that guy while he's in the game tonight. You got good numbers against him. You got to jump on him early. That's what the Yankees need to do against Alex Cobb, who's pitching in game one.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Jump on him early. Listen, I don't know if you saw this. I just want to inject this. Did you see that clip that Dave Sharapan ran yesterday with
the pirate with the Mazur-
oh my God.
With the Mazeroski. The
but Mazeroski, it was really it was really unique. Yeah. It was 64 years ago yesterday that they beat the Yankees in the 1960 World Series in Game 7 on Mazeroski's home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. I have in my studio several photos of that home run. I have an autograph from Mazeroski as well after he hit it, and it's very special to me. And watching Bob the Gunner Prince do the interviews after the win, and every single guy that came up, did you see it? Every guy that came on the dais, literally he asked him one question and then threw him off the stage. It was like one question for each guy. He interviewed everyone in baseball, including the commissioner, and it was Frick. And they literally, he asked them all one question and then shooed him off the stage. And Bob Prince, one of the legendary broadcasters in the history of Major League Baseball, and this is in color 64 years ago, and it was unbelievable listening to this guy talk to all these guys when they upset the Yankees. The Yankees broke every World Series record in that series for home runs, runs, hits, everything, and they still lost. They broke every World Series record that ever was held in that series, and they lost. They're the only team to ever break every record in the history of the World Series and lose a World Series, and they lost on that home run. And remember, Hal Smith hit the home run before Mazeroski hit the game winner. They wouldn't have gotten to Mazeroski if it wasn't for Hal Smith hitting the home run before Mazeroski. And they interviewed Hal Smith, and he was like, you would have thought the guy, it was Christmas Day. He was like, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It was so cool watching that guy interview those guys in 1960 in living color. Dave Sherapan, I tip my cap to you. What a great clip you pulled out yesterday on X. Nice job, dude.
Final four teams, you sent me this, the payrolls. Of course, the three highest. Mets, $350 million. Dodgers, $339 million. Yankees, $314 million. Then Cleveland checks in at $140 million in terms of the payrolls.
Discount
left.
Double check for the Yankees. That's like that's saving hell money, $314.
Yeah, 314. And, of course, favorites to win. Yankees and Dodgers, everybody is their favorites. There it is. Dodgers are the favorites to go to the World Series, to win the World Series.
Listen, right, bring it on. I want that or a Subway, obviously. And bring it on. Like, if it's the Dodgers and Yankees, like, 78, bring it on. If it's the Subway, like, you know, before, you know, a few years ago, 2000, have at it. Let's do it.